because downloading a podcast is pretty similar to having like a 100% open rate on an email blast and a 100% click-through rate on an email blast. I mean, the people who are listening to shows or watching a video or reading a blog, I mean, they are 100% in.
You're listening to Real Marketing Real Fast, the only podcast that brings you unfiltered, undaunted, insider information on the latest tools and technologies for online marketers. Prepare to dive deep into marketing myths, breakthrough models, and cutting-edge strategies that will have an immediate impact on the growth of your business. And now, here's your host, marketing expert Doug Morneau.
Well, welcome back, listeners, to another episode of Real Marketing Real Fast. Today in the studio, I've got a guest joining me, and his name is Steve Olscher. He is known as the world's foremost reinvention expert. He's famous for helping individuals and corporations become exceptionally clear on what, the one thing that they were created to do. His practical, no-holds-barred approach to life and business propels his clients towards achieving massive profitability while also cultivating purpose, conviction, and contribution. A 25-year entrepreneur, Steve is the chairman and founder of Liquor.com, online pioneer who has launched CompuServe's electronic mail in 1993, New York Best Time seller of What Is Your What? Discover the One Amazing Thing That You Were Born to Do, author of the Business Technology Book of the Year, Internet Profits, and the world's leading expert revealed how to profit online, host of the number one radio show podcast, Reinvention Radio, international keynote speaker, and in-demand media guest who has also appeared on CNN and Huffington Post, Entrepreneurs in Fire, and countless other media outlets. So welcome to the Real Marketing Show today.
Hey, man. Thanks for having me.
So was there anything I missed or anything that you want to, any of the blanks you want to fill in that cover the highlights?
Right outside of being married for over 20 years and having a couple kids there, no, I think you covered it.
There you go. So why don't you tell us a little bit about the services that you, you know, the consulting service that you do. I mean, you've got a very intriguing outline when I was looking at your website is the reinvention blog. So what does that mean?
So I've done a lot over the years from being an entrepreneur from the time I was in my late teens and opening up my own nightclub when I was 19 to catalogs and dot-coms and real estate and coaching and authoring and speakering and these sort of things, man. I really feel like I've done it all. And so it's been a continuous state of reinvention, which is, I think, why that moniker of America's reinvention expert certainly fits me well, because that's largely how I feel. Like, I'm just consistently reinventing who I am and certainly what I do from a business perspective.
Well, I guess the new term I hear often at events, we were over with Chris Ducker's group over in the UK, and I guess the new word to me was pivot. Should we make a pivot in our business, I guess, which mm-hmm. is a reinvention or a change or whatever it may be.
Yeah, you know, it's pivot is a word they use a lot in the tech space. And so having been online since 93 and owned liquor.com since 98, it's been an interesting go over the years, and pivot is definitely the MO there, because I think that you have to be agile, right? I mean, as far as business is concerned, and like for me and what I've been doing, I mean, it's definitely been a reflection of pivoting. Sometimes more often than I'd even like to admit, you know, but reality is you got to strike while the iron is hot, right? And when you see a good opportunity there, you got to do what you got to do to take full advantage of it. And for me, of late, that's been doing things here in podcasting land, which is really what led to the creation of the New Media Summit, which you'll be a part of. But that was a pure pivot by all definitions.
Well, it's really cool, because I mean, I think often people discount the fact that appearing on a podcast is good for business. It's earned media, and it might be a start to other media opportunities, whether it's print or radio or TV. But you know, with the industry continuing to grow and new vehicles being made now without DVD players, you know, interesting times.
Yeah, you know, it is. it's not everybody's cup of tea. You know, I mean, not everyone is going to be an audio fan. It's, you know, there are people who still prefer the written word, and there's people who still prefer video, and then there's people who, you know, want to actually hold a book in their hand as opposed to reading a blog online and those sort of things, right? So maybe you're never going to be all things to all people, but the good news is obviously the pool is large enough that no matter what medium you choose, you're going to find people who will want to consume your content when they want to consume it. And of course, on their preferred device. So as technology evolves, it doesn't mean necessarily that you have to chase after the newest, shiniest object, but simply pursue that which feels most comfortable for you. And those folks who are meant to find you most of the time will.
So with all the changes online, and, you know, we could talk about Facebook with all the new changes. We could talk about everybody changing their LinkedIn profile.
We could, but I wouldn't be very helpful in all that. Like, I mean, I do so little online with as much as I do online. It's not even funny. This algorithm stuff, and like I'm the wrong guy on that, right? LinkedIn, no clue. I have a very unoptimized profile. I've been told that, I think, three times this week.
So, that's
there's
funny.
Only so much I can talk about with you, Doug, and those two things are definitely not it. No, so what else?
No, I got it. No, I was just going to say, with the changes in the marketplace, I mean, that's the topic right now in all the social media. Everyone's talking about Facebook. Everybody now on LinkedIn is changing their bio to be blockchain and Bitcoin experts. So don't want to go there. So let's talk about online marketing. I mean, you've got a couple books that you've published, and so you know, share with us, what's your superpower, and what do you see, you know, the opportunities coming for business in the future?
Yeah, and that actually is, I think, the superpower that I have, if you will. If we're using that term, which I like that term, and if we're using that, then I think that is one of the superpowers that I have, which is being able to really see far in advance where things are coming. I mean, you mentioned where things are going, where they're coming, whatever you want to term that. But, you know, you mentioned blockchain and crypto and so on. I'm not going to beat the horse on that. But just know that I had one of the saddest moments of my entire life about a year ago. It wasn't even maybe a year ago. It was when Bitcoin was around $4,000. So I don't remember about how long ago that was, but maybe 6 months ago. It doesn't matter. Whatever it was lower than it is now for sure. And a lot of friends starting to talk about it. A lot of friends were buying it, $1,000, $2,000, this, that, and the other. And I was like, fine, $4,000. I got into it. And I went to one of the main trading accounts, which is Coinbase. And went there and tried to open up an account, and it was like, yeah, sorry, we can't open an account because an account already exists by that name. I was like, well, that's just odd. So I started thinking back around some of the times that, you know, I may have been using some of these older passwords. And anyway, I dug up a password that I used to use around 2012, 2013. And I tried that with my email address, which I've had now for years. And I was like, oh, cool. All right, I already have a Coinbase account. So 2012, 2013, let me look at it. Well, sure enough, I opened up an account in 2013. I was like, oh, man, how awesome is that, right? Because Bitcoin was trading out over $100 or whatever it might have been. I was like, maybe the you of yesterday, Steve, did something cool that the you of today can give back and you know, look back on and give thanks to. Thinking maybe I threw $1,000 at it or whatever it might have been, because at that point that would have been you know, if I threw $1,000 at it, that'd have been 10 coins, right? So I'd be sitting there with a cool you know, 140K or whatever in my account. But no, this guy opened an account and didn't buy anything. So yes, I had an account, but no, I didn't buy anything. So obviously, even back in 2012, 2013, I had seen the writing on the wall, but just didn't take action. And I think that's kind of my superpower, man, among other things, is just really being able to see where things are headed. I mean, we launched on CompuServe's Electronic Mall in 93. We picked up that liquor.com domain in 98. I mean, I've been doing this stuff for a long time. And really, my superpower is also my kryptonite, because I think to some extent, I'm often too early to things. And I give up on it before it really kind of gets to that hockey stick growth where the real money is. And so I either, you know, just kind of throw in the towel and say, forget it, nothing's going to happen here, or I sell too early. And that's happened on actually a few occasions. So interestingly enough, man, I think that's one of the superpowers is just being able to see the writing on the wall there.
So then I guess that begs the question, what is the writing on the wall telling you today?
You know, it's interesting. I do believe that the writing on the wall today, and certainly where I'm looking to continue to move forward, is in the world of really niching it down, right? And being a lot more specific. And I'll give you an example. We did a, are you familiar with Jeff Walker and the product launch stuff? Yeah.
Yes, I am. Yep.
Yeah. Okay. So, you know, Jeff started talking about product launches a number of years ago already. And there's been some folks out there who've had some really good product launches. And I partnered with a gentleman by the name of Alex Mondozian, who's been online for a long time. Back in 2015, we started working together on doing a launch of a program that we called Push Button Influence. And we ended up with a lot of partners on board. Ended up with over 80,000 opt-ins for that launch, which is a lot. Very few launches do those sort of numbers. And we ended up selling very few units. And it was incredibly disappointing, right? Because here we are with this huge launch list and almost nobody bought. And I think it was largely because the whole concept of push button influence was too grandiose. You know, it was hard for people to really get their arms around what it is that we were doing there. And I mean, the training was good, but it was just too broad. Now, fast forward, and Alex and I have parted ways, but fast forward now, and I've been doing very well with a program that is called Profiting from Podcasts, right? So very simple, very clear, and very niche. And that, to me, I believe, is really where the future lies, because search is really the driver of success. I mean, no matter how you slice it, I mean, that's been that way for as long as the internet has been a prevalent part of our lives. But reality is that, you know, if you start a podcast, or if you start a blog, or if you start a video channel, and you go broad with what it is that you name it and what it is that you focus on, you're going to have a tough time breaking into what is a very, very crowded market and getting past people, you know, who already have significant followings and who already have significant reach. And so, as an example, I was working with a woman who wanted to get into the podcasting arena. And we went very, very niche with her, so niche, in fact, that the show ended up being called Life with Herpes. And, you know, reality is we can say what we want to say about it, but, you know, one out of every five or one out of every six people has it, but nobody's talking about it. But if you are searching for information on that particular subject, and you listen to a show called Life with Herpes, then the odds are pretty good that either A, you have it, B, you know someone who does, or C, you're in that industry, right? So,
right. Yep,
so that's like 100% open rate, if we're looking at an email analogy here, because downloading a podcast is pretty similar to having like a 100% open rate on an email blast and a 100% click-through rate on an email blast. I mean, the people who are listening to shows or watching a video or reading a blog, I mean, they are 100% in. They're opting in. They're raising their hand. They're saying, I have a defined, definite interest in this particular subject. And so are those folks going to be likely candidates to invest in products, programs, and services to relate to that topic? Well, you bet. You bet. And so that's where I really believe that the future lies here. which is why the events that I do now are not broad in nature, but very specific to catering to those who want to get booked on podcasts. And that's, you know, that's the New Media Summit in a nutshell, right? As we bring in 40 of the world's leading podcasters, and like yourself, right, who people have the opportunity to meet and pitch on who they are and what they do and literally get booked on the spot. So not everybody's going to be a candidate for wanting to get booked on shows, but those who show up absolutely want to get booked on shows, right? So I think that's really how the future is shaping up here, where you've got to be very, very specific about what it is that you do.
So what would you say is the biggest myth about that? I agree with you that you need to niche down, know exactly who your customer is, your value proposition. And I was interviewing someone earlier this week, and he said, well, one of the things you need in your customer avatar is to make sure that they have sufficient budget to hire you. And I went, that's a great concept.
Yeah.
He said, I'm tired of coaching people who found their perfect customer, but they don't have the budget. He said, then you forgot to add something to your avatar.
Yeah.
So in terms of niching down, what do you think is a myth about that tactic that, you know, businesses that would have that are serving a broader audience today?
I mean, I think the biggest myth around that is that there just simply isn't going to be a big enough pool of people. Right, I think that's just the bottom line, is people are afraid that if they go too narrow, that they're just not going to have enough, a large enough lead pool to work with, to end up finding people who are ideal candidates for their products, programs, and services. And so, you know, I have to beg to differ. And what I will tell you is that, you know, from my experience, I don't care how niche you get. There are enough people to build a fairly formidable business. And that, of course, is a relative term. But what I do know, at least from my experience, is that the more specific that I am, the easier it is for me to enroll people in whatever it is that I am doing. If it's raising money for a company to build a company, if it's for a real estate development project, and I'm looking to put together a syndicate to invest in that, or creating a podcast. I mean, it doesn't matter what it is. Reality for me, at least based on my experience, is that you will find that there are enough people who fit that criteria. And frankly, you can build a pretty large business without having that many customers. You know, at the end of the day, if you've got a program that you sell for $1,000, all you need is 1,000 people to say yes in order for you to have a $1 million business.
Absolutely. I remember years ago reading a book called Crossing the Chasm, and they talked about kind of like the adoption cycle and identifying your market. And I think one of the things I took away from that was that you get your whole team kind of tuned into that language. So if you're selling to dentist office and then you want to sell to a doctor's office, then you want to sell to pick somebody else, you're always reinventing yourself instead of just, you know, focusing and becoming the expert in one place.
Yeah. Yeah. And again, you know, look, to each his own. I mean, because there are certainly people who have the ability to be broader in scope with what it is that they do. But I think that if you're coming out of the gate today, you're doing yourself a huge disservice by not being as clear as you possibly can. And let me put it to you this way. One of the things that I preach is certainly to my private clients, is that clarity does two things. Clarity attracts and clarity sells. And the more clear that you are with what it is that you do and who you do it for, the more it will attract a specific subset of the population that is the right fit for what it is that you're doing, and the easier it will be for you to enroll them into those products, programs, or services.
Yeah, that totally makes sense. It also, I think, it repels people that aren't your target audience.
Yeah. And you know, I don't remember who said this, but I know that it's been said that your job as a marketer, first and foremost, is to repel as many people as you possibly can.
Okay, I haven't heard that before. That's good.
Yeah, it's true. I mean, you literally want people to take themselves out of the discussion. They're not talking to me. And you want them to go away as quickly as you possibly can. Because the people that will say, geez, you know, he's talking right to me, are going to be your most ideal prospects. And reality is, you know, those are the people who are literally waiting for you to show up in their lives.
Fair enough. Absolutely. So let's talk specifically then about profiting from podcasts. So that's where you're working these days. So, you know, share with the audience, you know, how does that work? Obviously, they're listening to podcasts and probably people are thinking, I should start one or I should be a guest on one. So let's walk us through an overview of what it is you're doing with that.
Yeah. I mean, look, there's no hard or fast, sort of do this, then do that kind of thing in this world. Because it works so differently for so many different people. But what I can tell you is, at least from my experience, the first thing that you want to do is, if you're interested at all in this world and learning how to profit from podcasts, you start by doing exactly what you're doing right now, which is listening to shows, right? And you figure out what you like about shows and what you don't like about shows. You know, and reality is, you will find that it is much easier to be a critic than it is to be a creator, right? I mean, you're being a critic right now. I mean, you're criticizing, you know, why is Steve talking about this? Why is Doug talking about that? Why didn't Doug ask this question? Why does Steve answer it like that? You know, it's like, it's so easy to be a critic. But I think you have to be a critic first. And you have to listen to a variety of shows to get a sense of, you know, really what this industry is all about and if it's even a medium that you want to pursue. So assuming that you find shows that you resonate with and you decide that this is something that you potentially want to get involved with, what I would tell you to do is just start by being a guest on other shows before you endure and incur the brain damage that goes hand in hand with trying to do this from the other side of the mic. I mean, there's two sides of the mic. There's the Doug side, which is having your show. And Doug will tell you, I mean, look, after this, my work is done. You know, I've spit in the microphone here for 45 minutes or 30 minutes or an hour or whatever we're going to go here. And I say goodbye. Doug now has to take this, edit this, add the intro, add the out. If he's got commercials, he's got to add the commercials. He's got to produce the whole thing, or maybe he sends it off to be produced, whatever. Either way, it's got to be done. Then it's got to be uploaded to the respective distribution channel. Doug's got to create show notes. He's got to market this thing. You know, he's got to do everything, and all I do is show up and spit for a little while, and Doug takes care of the rest, including making me famous with his audience, right? So that's a beautiful thing. And that's a great way to get started, right? Which is simply to be a guest on shows. And, you know, frankly, I think that your best bet is really to start on shows that people don't know of, right? Because you don't want your first show as a guest to be Joe Rogan. I mean, you know, that would be cool, but you know, when you got 30 million downloads a month, you know, that's getting in front of a lot of people. And if you don't know how to talk in sound bites, if you don't know how to be an engaging guest, if you don't know how to enroll people so that the operative word here is bounce, so that you can bounce them from that platform onto yours so that ultimately you can monetize that visibility or at least get a meaningful ROI on it, well, that's a pretty piss poor investment of your time, energy, and resources. So reality is you've got to just simply get into the game first as a listener, second as a guest, and then maybe as a host. But I don't think you want to circumvent that process in order to really get an understanding of how this medium works.
You made it sound like you may have scared a bunch of people off, which is probably a good thing because you're right. There's lots of stuff to do aside from just having the talk time, which is the fun time.
It is. Yeah. I mean, this is the easy time. Reality is for you to get anyone to listen to this show, you've got your work cut out for you. You know, I mean, it's tough. And I'll be the first to tell you that anyone who who sits there and says that, hey, just put up a podcast and by the end of the day, you know, you'll have your first 1,000 downloads. I got to tell you, unless you've got Tim Ferriss on who promotes that to his people, you're going to have a tough time making that happen.
Absolutely. So what are the lessons learned? So if someone's interested in your Profiting from Podcasts, what is that? Is that a program? Is it training? What is it you're offering?
It is. Yeah. So we do it as an online course and it steps people through basically everything soup to nuts in terms of understanding the industry and then how to take full advantage of what this industry has to offer and how to leverage the power of podcasts to put your mission and your message front and center in front of, well, as many people as possible who listen and continually partake of the medium. So yeah, it takes people through literally everything from understanding what their topic of influence is, which is that 2 or 3 or 4 word description of who you are and what you stand for and what you focus on, to being able to create dynamic hooks that get people's attention, right? So then you got to understand who the people are, whose attention you want. So it takes them through being able to identify and contacting the hosts or producers, decision makers who can say yes to putting them on that show. We even help them create their media one sheet, which is something that you really do want to have, which encapsulates who you are and what you do. And then we round it off with moving towards being an engaging guest and how to really captivate and intrigue, how to enroll people into your ecosystem, again, bounce them into your world. And then lastly, how to monetize your visibility. So it really just starts from the very beginning of how to position who you are and articulate who you are, and then get in front of the right people, identify the right people, get booked on their shows, and take full advantage of that opportunity.
Wow, that's a mouthful. There's a, like you said, there's a lot of work, but if you can, you know, walk through it one bite-sized piece at a time and start as a guest, that's really good advice.
Yeah, and I mean, the bonus on the back side of that is we do have a course that actually teaches people how to create their own podcast. But that's really just as a bonus. It's not the core of the training because to me, having your own show is certainly something that you can do. And we show you how to do that. But there's so much opportunity in sitting on the other side of the mic.
So do you have a specific example that you want to share with our audience today, either as a guest or as a podcaster, maybe something you've done or something you've helped one of your clients to do?
Yeah, I mean, look, I've been on literally hundreds of shows. I used to keep a spreadsheet of the shows that I've been on and I stopped. But I've literally been a guest on hundreds of shows. And there's no doubt in my mind that some shows, you know, certainly stand out more so than others, right? In terms of, let me just put it to you this way. The skills of the hosts vary and very, very greatly. And I'll be the first to tell you that, you know, some of the more popular shows that I've been on have actually been a lot less fun than you might think. I mean, I've been on several of the more popular shows where the host will literally just read from a set list of questions. And every interview, no matter who that, you know, person has on, every interview will follow that same exact list of questions. And so, you know, that to me is one of the experiences that I would kind of put in that back pile there of not so much fun. But at the same token, you know, I've been on shows where what I find, because of just how my personality is, what I find to be the most fun and the most appealing is being a guest on shows where the hosts, and oftentimes I have the most fun on shows where there's more than one host. I mean, we have our own show called Reinvention Radio that we do in what I might call morning zoo style. So there's actually me and a couple of co-hosts that that do it with me. Yep. But, you know, I will say that on the shows that I've been on where there's been a couple of hosts or more, just the energy that comes off of that engagement and that interaction, especially when they're more authentic, if you will, than the norm and more fun than the norm, those can be an awful lot of fun, man, you know, and reality is some of the best memories of shows that I've been a guest on are actually shows that you've probably never heard of. So I highly doubt they've even made it onto any of the charts.
Yeah, I know there was a lot of focus when I was first launching for charts. And, you know, really, I think what was more important instead of charts was really just trying to do a good job for both the listener and for the guests.
Yeah. Yeah. And I think a lot of people forget about the importance of, you know, look, let's just simply keep in mind that we're doing this because we're trying to get others excited about our topic or our guest, or like the bottom line is they forget about the audience. They forget about the listener, and it just becomes this self-absorbed conversation where they're really not delivering anywhere near the amount of value they absolutely can be providing. And so, you know, when I have guests on my show, that is something that we definitely try to think about is this actually of value for the listener, or is it just a self-love fest, which a lot of shows turn out to be?
Well, I did a little bit more self-evaluation after I went through the process for your upcoming event, when the question was asked, what are you looking for in a guest? And I actually just recorded a solo episode on that because it got me thinking about, well, you know, what am I really looking for? And it's exactly what you said. Are you going to bring value, or are you coming just to pitch your product? Is it going to be good for the audience? Are there going to be some takeaways, or is your plan going to be so grandiose that people can't execute? So can they come get something that's going to direct them, that will help them, that they can implement, they can see a difference?
Yeah, no, I mean, I totally get that and agree with that, because this is an investment of time. I mean, you are listening to this show right now. What are you getting out of this? And my hope is, if you take nothing more out of this whole episode, then maybe you take something out of this, such as, you know, I need to learn how to bounce people into my ecosystem if I'm a guest on a show. Or maybe you take away the whole notion of I can take advantage of what this medium has to offer without even having my own show, and I can be a guest on other shows. And that begins with listening to shows and figuring out what I like or don't like, right? So I think that if we as hosts and guests really think about giving the audience tangible takeaways, then we're absolutely moving in a direction that will serve the audience well.
Yeah, and I think that carries over all, obviously, to all media, because there's really no reporter sitting out there waiting to publish your latest press release to say how great you are.
There may be one or two, but I guarantee you they're probably charging you to do that. So, but yeah, point well taken.
So can we switch gears a bit and talk about this, your upcoming summit? I'm super excited about the summit, and I don't want to steal from your explanation. So why don't you share with our listeners what this summit is and what it's about, and give us some details.
Yeah. So summit is kind of one of those terms that gets thrown around in lots of different ways. So I will clarify just by saying that it is the New Media Summit, which is actually an in-person thing. So there's a lot of online summits. This is actually going to be a live in-person thing. So just so we're clear on that. So you can't do this one from the comfort of your home. You actually have to come to San Diego, which is where we're doing the next one. And so this is our second time doing the New Media Summit. And bottom line is I realized that there were probably a lot of other people like me who had shows and were being inundated with guest requests. You know, like as I said, we have our own show called Reinvention Radio, which I've done off and on since 2009 and mostly on for the last 3 years. And we get requests all the time, you know, and there's a lot of really interesting people out there. I mean, as a matter of fact, some of our favorite guests over the years have been people that the public doesn't know, you know, and we actually take we take great pride in introducing our audience to people that they've never heard of before. So, a matter of fact, like kind of breaking someone's story, if you will, and featuring them for the first time. We actually love doing that. And so, you know, you don't need to be famous to get booked on shows. You don't need a best-selling book or, you know, have a big social media following. You don't need any of that. Because all you really need is to have an interesting message and an interesting mission, and be really clear on you know who you are and what you do, and be able to articulate that in a fun way. And so, when we started getting inundated with all of these requests, what we realized quite quickly was, you know, there's probably other podcasters out there who are also getting inundated with requests, and you want to find great guests. And then there's people who want to be on these shows and people who want to understand how to really leverage and monetize the power of new media. So we combined the two and we said, you know, we're going to create an event where people come and learn how to leverage and monetize the power of new media. But the main hook is we're going to bring in 40 of the world's leading podcasters who are looking for guests just like you to feature on their shows. And so we allocate a significant amount of time at the event to allowing folks to pitch the podcasters on who they are and what they do, and literally get booked on the spot. And so it's a smaller event. We limit it to 150 attendees and the 40 podcasters. So as you can imagine, you get ample time with them to get to know the podcasters and develop real relationships with them. And there's no iron curtains here. Everybody breaks bread together. Everybody hangs out together, you know, small group discussions, and we dance together. And, you know, it's a rocking good time. And there's no other event like it. And as I said, we did it in September. And a little fun fact that I like to share is that everyone who attended the last summit got booked on shows. Most got booked on 10 or more shows, and one woman even got booked on, I believe, 33
shows. Wow, that's amazing.
So, yeah. So, I mean, people leave the event with something tangible, and that's kind of one of my biggest pet peeves, Doug. I don't know about you, man, but, you know, you go to events, and you meet a lot of people that you may not necessarily have known. You don't necessarily get to know them all that well, but you pick up a lot of business cards, and maybe you write down a whole bunch of notes in a notebook. But it kind of dies there. You probably don't remember most of the people whose cards you took. You probably don't implement most of what you wrote down. And so what I decided is that when we, you know, are going to do this event and in the events that I like to do, I want to make sure that there is a tangible outcome, right? So even if you don't implement anything that you learned from the event, you're at least going to walk out of there with you know, with this sort of instant gratification, if you will, by getting booked on these shows, and you will get those appearances. So kind of try to balance the best of what I like about other conferences and put it into this one event, which we're doing in April in San Diego. And then we're actually going to do it again in the fall at a to-be-determined location. So we're actually going to do it twice a year now.
So for people that are listening that say, hey, that's interesting, you know, how are they going to learn to pitch? Now, I know the answer, but I'm just thinking, you know, people would be nervous. I've never stood up in front of someone and presented, or I might not have asked. I'm assuming you're going to guide them through some of this process.
Mm-hmm. So one of the things that we do that makes our event pretty unique is we actually do 6 pre-event training sessions. So we do 6 pre-event training sessions, and we will get everyone ready for the event and teach them how to articulate who they are and what they do and get a really tight, concise 30-second pitch down so they really can explain who they are and what they do and the value add for the audience if they get booked onto their show. And we help them create their Media One sheet, and my team actually creates that for you. So, you know, we try to really go the extra mile there. But what we have found is that the majority of where people struggle, just in general in terms of getting booked on shows, is just being able to articulate who they are and what they do and create a really good hook that creates intrigue and gets people fired up about learning more. And so that's a big part of what we do in the pre-event training sessions. And that's included with the event as well, including our team creating the Media One sheet for you. So you get quite a bit. Gourmet meals. I mean, the whole nine when you come to the event.
So why don't you explain what a Media One sheet is for those people listening that don't know?
Well, it is basically one piece of paper that you can put onto your website that producers and hosts and decision makers can download, or you can print it, of course, and hand it to people. That's certainly something you can do as well. But the idea of a Media One sheet is it not only provides a description of who you are and what you do and includes your picture and contact information, of course, but it breaks down for the decision maker the areas of focus, the topics that you cover, the hooks, again, if you will, so that the decision maker reads that and goes, wow, that sounds really interesting. And we take it a step further with our folks by making sure that they articulate what the value add is for the audience. So not only is it clear in terms of what it is that you would talk about, but also what's in it for the listener, what's in it for the audience. And I think a lot of people forget about that really important piece there. And so I believe that a good Media One Sheet contains all of that, plus testimonials if you have it, and perhaps if you have room for something else, you can share some of the some of the other things that you're up to. But a good one sheet will at least have those elements.
Well, that's excellent. Hey, well, thanks so much for sharing. There's lots of information. I'm glad we covered off the podcast side as the media continues to grow. It's funny because just doing what I'm doing, I get lots of requests for people saying, how do you do this? How do you do this? I said, lots of work, hired a few guys, lots of learning. Not everyone had the right answers, but now there's a resource where people can look. So listeners, we're going to wrap it up. I'm going to ask Steve a couple more questions. I'm going to ask him the toughest question that always stumps my guests. And that is, who is one person I should have on my podcast?
Let's put it in a little more context so that you can serve your audience best. What sort of person are you feeling can serve your folks best?
I'm looking for people that can share a specific tactic. So people who are focused on one tactic, whether it's email or Facebook or online or speaking mm-hmm. or podcasting or being an author, that they can take, if it resonates with them, they can take that and execute it and run with it.
Well, a few people come to mind. Number one is Brett Gregory. Have you had Brett on?
I have not.
Yeah, Brett, we talked a little bit about Facebook and whatnot earlier. Brett is the guy who I turn to run all of my Facebook stuff. So having him on to share exactly what's going on in that arena and leveraging the power of Facebook ads and so on to build your business, that's certainly something that I would recommend you cover. And how about Pete Vargas? You ever met Pete?
I have not, no.
Yeah, so Pete talks a lot about speaking, and he does quite a bit in helping people win stages, and as I think over the course of the last few years, has helped his clients get booked on over 25,000 stages. So that's a great way to build your business as well as through speaking. And of course, there's various ways and various models around speaking. So Pete might be a good person to have on there too.
Well, excellent. Hey, thanks so much for taking the time and making the time to share with us today and share with our audience. So listeners, as usual, we'll make sure that we've got the show notes fully transcribed. I'll make sure there are links to the profiting from podcasting on the show notes. I'll also make sure there's links to the event that's coming up. Now, Steve, what's the best place for people to find and reach out to you?
Well, for me, outside of newmediasummit.net, and check that out, right? I would say it's just steveulsher.com.
Excellent. Well, that wraps up another episode, listeners. Thanks so much for tuning in. Don't be shy. Make sure you subscribe to our email list. And if you're just listening on iTunes and not subscribed, make sure you do that as well. And we'll be back at you in a couple days.
That's all for this episode of Real Marketing Real Fast. Now it's time to take your marketing to the next level by visiting DougMorneau.com and downloading our advanced marketing white papers, as well as exclusive resources based on today's episode. That's DougMorneau.com. Until next time, we look forward to serving you right here on Real Marketing Real Fast.